to Tiny Island Diary, a podcast celebrating all our tiny islands in Animal Crossing New Horizons, also known as ACNH. Each week on Tiny Island Diary, we'll chat with an ACNH player and find out what life is like on their tiny island. We might pick up a few tips, tricks, or hacks and new ideas we can use. My name is Antoinette, and I'm an unlikely host for this podcast. Pre-pandemic, I spent 99% of my time in the physical world with family, friends, and a satisfying career as a public speaker. COVID changed many things, and I was suddenly grounded at home in Austin, Texas. I picked up my son's Nintendo Switch console, downloaded ACNH, and found some joy and peace in my own tiny virtual island. I bet you have too. Tiny Island Diary is a podcast in a bottle, washing up on your shore every week. I hope you enjoy it. Dear Tiny Island Diary, it's me, Antoinette. This was a week of firsts in ACNH. I passed my first 100 days in the game, I celebrated my birthday for the first time in the game, and Phil finally gave me his photo. No hard feelings, but Louie, Bangle, and Soleil have all given me their photos twice before Phil even gave me his photo once. And then there's Eunice still holding out on me, tisk tisk. A big surprise awaited me on Wednesday, a lily of the valley, growing on a cliffside. Isabel confirmed that my tiny island has achieved the coveted 5-star rating. While it's still a little mystifying, it motivates me to finish the 80% of my island that feels undone. When Bud the Jock Lion told me he was thinking of moving early Friday morning, I said yes and was astounded he was off the island that night. We happened to have a peppy cow camper visiting named Patty. She was cute, and now I have two peppies instead of two jocks. The current version of ACNH is 1.4.2. Before we meet our guest today, I'd like to shout out to listeners who have engaged on social media. On Twitter, at Lockleth, which is L-O-C-K-L-E-T-H, shared a photo of the sweet snapping turtle area on her island, which frankly makes my turtles jealous. Mine just have a corner on the grass with some pet beds. I really like the fencing and just the beautiful little finishing touches you put on your turtle area. So thanks for the inspiration, Lockleth, and thanks for listening. Listeners also know from previous episodes that Ryan FTW and Kang Gaming have been suggested as ACNH content creators to watch and just great resources in general. And in fact, Ryan FTW was our guest on episode 4. Via email, Karen in Florida suggested a few more YouTube channels, which I will link to in the show notes. And those are Abdullah Smash, Tagback TV, and Mayor Mori. Just a quick note, I have actually seen, I think, a video from each of those three people just by randomly searching for how to do something. So I appreciate the suggestion that we go ahead and formally link to each of those folks. Karen also commiserated in her email to me about Harv's creepiness. I'm glad I'm not the only one who feels that way. And Karen and I have one more thing in common. She turned on the game one morning and saw a lily of the valley and was also surprised by her island's 5-star rating. So I am curious, listeners, if you accidentally found yourself the designer of a 5-star island, how would you describe your island when you saw your first lily of the valley? Please let me know via Twitter or Instagram. The handle is at Tiny Island Diary, or send me an email at tinyislanddiary@gmail.com. Today, we are welcoming guest Rusty Reels to Tiny Island Diary. Rusty is an IT professional who lived with a life full of travel with his wife before COVID. Now, he works from home and travels frequently to his own tiny island in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I have a feeling based on our prep call that Rusty and I share a lot of gameplay preferences and habits, so we're going to get into that today. Rusty, how are you?
Good, good. Happy to be here.
Yes, happy to have you here. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you came to Animal Crossing New Horizons, and what life is like on your tiny island.
Sure. I've been married for about 10 years. We have two little dogs. We live in Austin, Texas. It's currently blazing hot outside. So my motivation to stay inside and play video games, or at least this video game, has been pretty high lately. So the way I came to Animal Crossing is I played the original game on the GameCube back in, I think, around 2002. I think I was graduating college about the time about that time, and it was a good time sink back then. That kind of took my my mind off my college work and everything. Also played the one for the Wii system. I put in a lot of hours on it, and then when I saw that this one was coming out, I knew that I had to have it. So and of course the timing was perfect with COVID, so right. It's just been a blessing one day after the next to have this game as kind of a distraction from everything that's going on.
That's great. Did you happen to have the Switch console before COVID happened, or were you just one of the first people to rush in and scoop up the last few that were available in the world?
I did. I bought my Switch probably about a month or so after they originally came out. I bought the Switch and I bought the Pro Controller altogether. And then I haven't played it a whole lot, to be honest with you. I'm not a big video gamer. I'll play a game for like a couple of days, and then I kind of tend to lose interest in them. I've tried over the years to get into it, but I just really can't. But of course, Animal Crossing is one thing that it's definitely kept my attention way more than any other game I think that I've ever played.
Right. I have a friend who her kids played Animal Crossing when it first came out. And she said to me, I tried the game, but I didn't really like it because I don't like games that don't have an ending. So are you the reverse that you kind of?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I like something that I can log on every day and play as much or as little as I want to. I don't like things that are overly difficult or challenging. I mean, I feel like in my life I get enough. Especially lately, I feel like that there's enough difficult or challenging scenarios just navigating, work and marriage and generally life. I want a video game to be something that I can just kind of lose myself in, mm-hmm. and not really be having to do a lot of critical thinking or a lot of problem solving, those kind of things. So yeah, so therefore, this game really appeals to me.
Right. Pretty much every guest that we've talked with, and you're our sixth guest, has mentioned to some degree that this game provides an escape from what's happening outside. And I appreciate that you mentioned also that here in Texas, because I live in Austin as well, it's just hot out, because at this time of year, we're normally not looking to be outdoors all the time and that sort of thing anyway. But I do think the pandemic has added an extra layer of escapism to the game. That we didn't have before. And knowing that you have played previous iterations of this game, can you speak a little bit about the escapism that's required now versus that original GameCube version back in 2002?
Sure. Going back, to the previous versions of the game, it was something that I mean, I was motivated, of course, to play every day. But now I'm, of course, way, way more motivated because there's just simply not a whole lot else to go do outside. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would normally be traveling about this time. Like my wife and I were supposed to be in Honduras this year for, I think, 10 or 12 days. We were supposed to go on a cruise around the Mediterranean. I was going to go to Europe. For about 2 weeks of just kind of solo travel, all things that are, that are escapism from my, from my normal, kind of daily work life that I have. But, without those things to be an outlet, I've definitely looked at Animal Crossing more as my, I guess, kind of substitute for travel. It's my substitute for going to a bar to watch, sports on TV, or it's my substitute for just going downtown and walking around and, exploring the city, or, going out and exploring the state that I live in, Texas. So, mm-hmm. It definitely held a higher level of importance for me now than those previous games. And I'm definitely more motivated to log on every day because, it's always just some kind of new something that I can see and do.
Yeah. All those activities that you mentioned now sound so far away, going downtown and just walking around and people watching, or, stepping in and listening to a band play or something. I mean, it seems so far away now.
Yeah, it does. We actually drove downtown yesterday. We drove down 6th Street. We just kind of get it out on Saturdays and just kind of go see what we can go see in the car with the dogs. And we were driving down 6th Street, and like all the bars are still boarded up, and there was nobody out. And this was like, around noon or so. Normally on Saturdays in Austin, it's a sprawling, thriving city. And yesterday, we drove down South Congress and went around campus and everything. And the only people there were the people who were moving into their dorms and everything.
Oh,
You
wow.
know, yeah. Like, there's no tour. There was no tourists out anywhere. There was no little scooters that you see
Right.
or anything like that. And, and in my head, I was kind of thinking, I know that this sounds kind of goofy, but I was thinking, like back on my island, the people are out doing things. My little
Yes.
villagers are, they're talking to one another, and they're hugging, and they're embracing. And, compared to the city that I live in now, it's totally the opposite of that. I would normally think, they would kind of match up, but Austin, and of course, like usually the rest of the world now, is just sort of slowed down, while my island has kept on full steam. It's totally
Bustling.
unaffected. Yeah, which I like.
Good. I want to ask you about a couple of things we didn't talk about during your prep call. One of them is you've mentioned again putting the dogs in the car and driving around. So you have two little dogs.
We do.
Do you kind of have that relationship with your dogs where they're more than just dogs? And how does that translate to these animal villagers that you have in the game?
Yeah. So the dogs, see here, we have a Yorkie who we adopted a couple years ago. His name is Max. And then we have a poodle who we adopted last year. Her name is Winnie. We don't have any actual children, so it's just Natalie, my wife, and I, and the two dogs. When they go on the car rides with us, they have little seat belts that they wear, and their little harnesses and everything, just like, I think, I guess, kind of just like a little car seat sort of setup. We definitely think of them as our children. I sort of try to avoid the word fur babies, because I don't know, it kind of makes me feel a little bit weird. I don't know why. But in reality, that's exactly what it is. So the dogs are definitely our children. I become, I get aggravated with them, but I still love them, especially during the time of COVID here. Whenever I'm working from home and my wife is also working from home, it's a 24-hour operation of just the dogs are here. As far as how they relate to the people on my island, I mean, I would say I definitely think of them kind of the same. I see a lot of the same traits. So like Max, our little Yorkie, he's very outgoing. He always kind of wants to know what you're doing. I think of him as kind of grumpy. And he'll, he sort of gets a little angry or upset every now and then, and we like to joke that his feelings are hurt. Which I can see that in my villager personalities.
Right.
Winnie, on the other hand, is kind of more happy-go-lucky. She's a poodle. She's full of energy. She wants to go and do things and run around. I kind of think of her as my villagers who do what I call the zoomies, where they're like in the square, and they'll run with their
Oh, yes.
With their hands down to their side. Like
Yes.
that very much reminds me of Winnie, in the fact that she's always just running around and full of energy, and she's happy to see you every time that you interact with her. So definitely some similarities there between the villagers and our dogs, for sure. That's a
Yeah.
good call out. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I have a dog. Well, I have two dogs, but the Jack Russell Terrier is like the Peppy to me. He's always ready to go. He's always positive. He's always super excited to see you, to see everybody, to see other dogs. Like he's just ready to embrace life. And then we also have a Cranky. Last year we adopted an elderly dachshund, and he's just like my Cranky villager. I think at his heart, like underneath the layers of, I'm uncomfortable, my body's getting old, whatever, he's just kind of a laid back guy. My grumpy villager tells a lot of dad jokes. I don't know about yours.
They do,
Yeah. A lot of dad jokes and really quite a nice heart. But I think a lot of the cranky that I see from the dachshund in real life is, he's getting old, his little body's wearing out, and he's got creaks and pains, and things don't work like they used to. So it's funny to see that in our own pets.
yeah, just like us, I think, yeah,
I was gonna
just like,
say, like our own humans, right?
yeah, just like me, yeah.
Do you have a favorite villager, by the way?
My favorite villager, I think, is Julian. He's the horse. He's blue. He's super cute. I think I like him because his home is decorated in kind of a whimsical manner. He has like it's kind of a cloudy kind of theme in there. He's always happy to see me. He's one of the more, I think, desirable villagers from what I've seen online. He's my favorite. He has like he's a horse unicorn kind of guy, and he's always the one that I think that I probably talk to first every day. His house, I believe, is also the geographically closest one to mine, so maybe that's a little bit of it too. So I still
Did you?
have by the way, I still have all 10 of my original villagers. I haven't actually moved anyone away.
So when they ask you to move, you just say no.
I just say no. I just
Every
say
time.
no
How
every
often do
time.
they ask you?
It seems about once a week or so, I'll have one of them who will come up and ask me. So, but I haven't actually had any. I just like them all. So, I want to get their photos and work with them and everything. So,
I like them all too. I think in real life, and I know this is such a weird thing to say, but in real life, if a friend actually came to me and said, "I'm thinking about moving," I would never say yes or no. I would ask them questions and help them to try to figure out their own thing. And so the first couple of times that I had villagers ask me, I was kind of like, go embrace the world. And then I found myself oddly quite sad that they were leaving. And so then I experimented with saying no. And it felt weird to kind of be at that level of control, but I'm kind of glad that I did because it gave me like an opportunity to think about how I might say yes in the future. So yeah, that whole mechanic of like regular asking to leave is something that I think I'm going to have to start getting used to because for me, it's been happening about every 2 weeks in the past couple of months. So yeah, it's a lot of heartbreak to think about. Did your 10 villagers all come to you naturally through the game, or did you hunt any of them down?
So I got all of them originally in the game, and then I actually got one of every personality type as well in my original 10, which is I think that's kind of, I think that I don't know if that's unusual or not, but I just like them all, and I've asked them all to stay every time.
That's awesome. Thank you. That gives me more to think about. And speaking of thinking, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a deep dive into our ACNH discussion with Rusty. We're back with Rusty talking about Animal Crossing, and we're ready for our deep dive. Rusty, what have you been thinking about with Animal Crossing? What are some of the, I don't know, just life lessons, tough things, good things, that maybe have been reinforced for you in your life because of the game.
My main reason I've discovered after playing for a while, like the main reason that I really enjoy it so much is that it really is an escape for me away from my normal day-to-day life. So I work in IT. I'm a manager. I have about 20 people who report to me at work. And then, of course, I am married. I have two little dogs, and then we have the COVID thing obviously going on. All those can be very stressful. And I have a lot of late night things that I deal with work. A lot of early morning phone calls. Decisions to be made. Those kind of things. I think that what I found is I really enjoy it because it is none of those things. It is just something that I can go to, and I can run around, and I can catch bugs, and I can just kind of be whoever I want to be on the island. I can wear the whatever kind of clothes I want to wear, or I can I can talk to my villagers, or I can ignore them. I can just kind of do whatever. My wife also does not play the game at all. She really has no interest in it, really at all. Like she'll, she understands how it works and everything, and the basic mechanics of what you do on the island. But I asked her very early on if she wanted to play with me, and she said, "I really don't have any interest in that. That's your thing. You go do it. I will completely stay out of that." It is my own little thing that I can, that I can control and that I can deal with, on my own. It allows me to just kind of disappear into my own little world. And I can, build things, I can tear things down, I can swim around, I can just kind of do whatever I want to, and there's little to no stress. It is not like a normal video game where you can die or you have like some limited amount of lives or or there's a real goal, to go from A to B or from B to C. There's really not that with an Animal Crossing, and it doesn't have that structure that my normal life has. There is no getting up in the morning and having to do, all these things. I can do them in whatever order I want them to do them in, or I can not do them at all,
Right.
which I
Yeah.
enjoy. So that
I
is what I
think that
like.
privacy is one of those things that I never thought about much in our home until COVID happened. And suddenly we were all compressed into the same fixed space together. Our house is definitely big enough for three people, my husband, me and our teenage son, and the two dogs. There's enough space for us to kind of get around and close doors and have privacy when we need it. I have found that, like, for instance, my husband has taken over the back deck where nobody ever really spent much time, and it's become like his space. And since COVID has started, he's taken on some woodworking projects and he'll do them on the back deck. So it's definitely like a space that he's carved out on his own. And I do feel like for me as well, this game has kind of become my space. It's a little bit of a virtual space, but it's mine and it's kind of private to me. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about things. In fact, yesterday, I think my husband must have spent an hour helping me to figure out where my museum was going to go and how I was going to display some dinosaur fossils around it, an hour, because he loves dinosaurs and he had very strong opinions about things. And at one point, I said to him, "Well, if you want to do that, you need to start your own island." And he said to me, "The last thing I need is to get sucked into this game right now," which I thought was very wise on his part. Yeah, great. Well, so let's talk a little bit about like the social aspects of the game. I actually didn't have a ton of friends in real life that were playing the game. So for me, it's been kind of networking out, finding people who are playing the game, and then setting up sometimes, in-game play dates and things like that. But for the most part, I don't have like some of our previous guests have had, and I think you have also, like a group of in real life friends that are also gaming together. So tell us about that.
I have a group of friends. Most of them are from Louisiana, which is where I'm from, and we chat via GroupMe on our phones about the game. So I think there's I think there's 10 or 12 people who are in our little texting group. And we kind of like offer tips and tricks to each one, to everybody. We trade back and forth with items, or if someone, excuse me, if someone's going to have a meteor shower, excuse me, we can all coordinate going over there to their island and doing that. We do tours of each other's islands. It's really just been, a fun way to socialize, especially, I keep saying during COVID, but of course during COVID, I can't go out with my friends here. It's been a really good way just to kind of keep in touch with each other, get different opinions on things. We'll offer opinions on like housing, or like the layout of the islands and everything. And it's just really, one more way to kind of socialize and keep in touch with people who I wouldn't normally see during this time. So it's been really nice.
In real life, knowing that these are friends from back in Louisiana, how often would you be seeing them? Like in person, you traveling back, or maybe them coming to Austin to visit you? Or going on
Probably,
trips together?
yeah. I'd probably say 3 to 4 times a year. I would actually see them. Maybe 5 or 6 times a year. For some other ones, my friends usually come out here at least once or twice a year, and then I'll go back there. I try to get back home 3 to 4 times a year to see them, but definitely not as much as I would like to. I have One of my friends who I play with, she is actually engaged to one of my best friends, and he's in the group as well. And you know, so we're all kind of, you know, kind of you know, intermingled and connected in that manner. We talked about having like a wedding in the game at one point, you know, well, you know, as maybe something to do.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to wait on that. But I definitely have seen people do that. So it's, you know, it's been kind of cool to see how this game has kind of tied everybody together and, you know, given us one, you know, kind of a focal point, to talk about and, to kind of keep it, you know, everyone, you know, kind of watering that garden of, you know, a social interaction for us.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the in-game wedding, by the way. That aside, though, you would normally see these friends 3 or 4 times a year, but you're actually seeing each other in the game. Like, how often then?
Probably at least once a week. Wow. You know, yeah.
That's wonderful.
They'll come to my island. I'll come to their island and, you know, hang out, you know, offer some critique of the island or just marvel at something on there.
Yeah. Right. So, well, you mentioned really quick, meteor showers, that you would go visit each other's islands, maybe if there was a meteor shower happening. Do any of you or your friends have that, it's called Meteo Nook. Have you cracked the code for your island? Have any of you done that where you have a full calendar of every rainbow that's happening, every shower down to the minute that it's happening?
So not me personally. I actually prefer just to kind of have it more as just kind of happenstance,
right.
Same thing with like my turnip prices, you know, I don't really want to look ahead. However, I do have a couple of friends who I play with and they really like, they've mapped everything out. You know, they know what the turnip prices are going to be. They know what like the weather is going to be for the next couple of days. And they know when the meteor shower is coming. You know, they'll also time travel to get it and then, you know, and then come back and then wait on it again. Those kind of things. I'm kind of more of a purist. I like to kind of just let things happen the way that they're going to happen. Which also kind of mirrors my own personality within real life. Like I rarely look at the weather forecast. I just kind of let it be what it's going to be, you know. But other people, you know, they have done that. Which, you know, I can see the benefits of both, but you know, not me personally.
I did it. Part of it was curiosity, just to see if I could gather enough data and plug it into the little machine and figure it out. Part of it was also that I would always be doing something where it was impossible to wish on those stars when they were happening. So the most recent example was, of course, I was diving. And when you're in the water, you can't turn around and wish on the stars and do that thing. And it was so frustrating because I couldn't get out of the water fast enough. So I thought, you know, I'll collect some star fragments based on the data that I'm getting. And then once my inventory is full, I really don't have to look. And it's been true since I've wished on, you know, I don't know, 2 or 3 nights worth of stars. I really don't need to anymore. What I do like about it, though, is that it gives me an opportunity to reach out to my friends and family and say, I have a meteor shower on this night, come on out, and I can plan, you know, my schedule around it or plan it according to my schedule. And that's been really, really nice. But I hear you. I think a very purist approach feels kind of like, I don't know, just a good approach to the game for me personally.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So speaking of like purist and just kind of natural, doing what comes naturally to us, you mentioned that there was some appeal of the game to like your basic nature as a person and how you exist in the world. In what ways does ACNH provide appeal and satisfaction to you?
Yeah, so I think my personality as a what I call a completionist really is I think kind of manifested in the way that I play the game. So, like I really enjoy, the whole like collecting of the bugs, the sea creatures, and the fish and everything. I recently hit, as a matter of fact, just last night, I caught my 5,000th fish. So I have that one completed.
Wow.
I've caught, the 5,000 bugs. I think I did the 3,000 or however many is sea creatures. So I've caught all of those. And then I think I've pretty much caught, I think all but a couple of things, as far as the fish and the bugs that you can actually collect, to give the blathers. I'm still missing a couple of them. And so I'll probably go after those next. But that I've always enjoyed that sort of that aspect of the series, in that, you can just kind of go crazy with, like just kind of doing kind of a, it's, I hate to say a repetitive motion, but it's kind of fun to me just to kind of click all the boxes, and say, oh, well, I did this thing, and I've caught 5,000 of these things. My wife, however, thinks it's probably a complete waste of time and looks at me like I'm crazy when I say that I caught, 5,000 fish. But it gives me sort of a sense of pride, and a sense of accomplishment, that I may not be getting somewhere else in my life, maybe, like with work or, I can't go outside and do anything, right now. So it's nice to see, me making progress on something. It's just, it just sort of appeals, to that little sliver of my personality.
Right. 5,000 is the max out level for that award, right? Or is
It
there a
is.
10,000? Yeah, 5,000 is the
Yeah,
max.
yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
gotcha. So there was a period of time where, my Switch was older. I had bought it actually for my son several years ago, and he had played through several games with it and maybe damaged it. I don't know. All I'm saying is the left Joy-Con, when I inherited it, started drifting pretty quickly. And so I went through a repair situation with Nintendo. Have you ever done that, Rusty?
I have not had the pleasure of doing that.
I want to share my
No.
experience for anybody out there who is experiencing drift and not sure what to expect with Nintendo, because this is a fairly recent experience. I went online and I filled out the form just to say, hey, I have an issue with this left Joy-Con. And much to my surprise, within, I don't know, a day or two, I got an email from Nintendo with a prepaid label for UPS. And it said, here are instructions for packaging it up. Leave a note inside that says what's wrong. And here's a link where you can track the status of your repair. So I was like, wow, this is slick. This is great. Awesome. So I packaged everything, dropped it off at UPS. And then I started, like, every day checking the status of the package. The package made it to Nintendo within a couple of days. And then it entered this, like, nowhere land. Like, I would keep clicking every day and it would just say, package has been shipped. They didn't even acknowledge that they had received the package for 7 days. So a week after UPS said that they got the package, Nintendo updated their system. They said, oh, we received your package. And then within 24 hours, there was a package coming back to me, but no notes. So I thought, okay, worst case scenario, they're sending back to me like the same piece I sent them. In the meantime, I had purchased one of those like off-brand pro controller type things, which I didn't like, and I can talk about that in a minute. But anyway, when the piece came back from Nintendo, they had just fully replaced the part at no charge. So it's good to know that 16 million copies of this game sold, and they don't have any more game consoles to sell, that they're not quibbling over $10 or $15 or $50 of repair. They're just saying, here's a new part. And it has been wonderful because that pro controller replacement that I had during that month, it was so, the vibration and the haptics were so out there. I cannot tell you, Rusty, you would be sad for me if you knew how many fish I lost.
Oh no, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm super sensitive to the, the stimulation in the hands, and it would just start vibrating every nibble, and I would be like, oh my God, it's biting. But it was never biting every single time. It got to the point where I would only catch like a specific fish if I saw it, and then all the rest of the time I wasn't even fishing. It was such a bummer.
That's got to be frustrating.
It was
Yeah.
super frustrating. And when I looked after you and I did our prep call, I have caught the 5,000 bugs, but I'm only at
Oh.
like 3,800 fish
Yeah.
because of that
Because
6 weeks or
yeah,
whatever.
that the faulty hardware.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, the faulty hardware. It's not me at
Yeah.
all. Yeah.
Not you at all. Yeah. Actually, so I on my Pro Controller, I just got drift on it about probably 3 weeks ago, on the left joystick. I took it to a local place here in Austin. So I'm actually expecting them to call me hopefully today or tomorrow, and I'll be hopefully getting that back. So
Cool.
I probably could have fixed it myself, but I wasn't too keen on, on opening it up, and I wanted to support a local business. So I figured I would
Sure.
give them the money and
Sure.
let them do it. I do everything for me because they're the experts. So
Right.
we'll see how that goes.
That's
Hopefully
great.
it's a positive outcome like yours was with Nintendo.
I think if it is a positive outcome and we get it before this episode goes live, you can send me the information and we'll link to it in your show notes as well.
Yeah, we'll do.
That's awesome. Great. Well, let's go ahead and move into our tournament since you are a tournament guy, Rusty. You did the bug off yesterday, right?
I did do the bug off, yes. I did do the
Actually,
bug off.
before we go into the tournament, our tournament, tell me a little bit about your bug off experience. Do you just like hammer away at that from 9 to 6, or do you just go in for like 5 rounds or what?
So I the first one that I did, I wasn't really sure what to expect, and I actually got the first one I did. I got the bronze and the silver trophy on my own, but then after that, I was just mentally beat. I was like, I have to go do something else. You know, I have to go outside and take a walk, and I don't think I ever went back to it that day. And then when I did the other one, the second one, I went all the way through, and I got to the gold trophy. And so
Wow.
I did those on my own, but it was very tedious. It felt like it took forever on my own. I probably should have teamed up with somebody else, like I do for the fishing tournament. But the one yesterday, I think I played like 3 or 4 rounds yesterday, and I got maybe one of the prizes. And then I'm like, I really just want to check off the box that says that I played in this today, since I already have the gold trophy for the bug off. So I was like, I can't spend all day on this. Although I probably would if I didn't, you know, make myself.
For some reason, I have 3 bug offs on my little record. Like I've participated in 3, but evidently there was only one that I was involved with where I got prizes. So I just want to reassure you, based on my experience yesterday, like playing the bug off, that they duplicate the prizes. So now I have not just one butterfly backpack I never wear, I have 2.
Oh.
So
Very
heads up.
special.
Heads
Yes.
up, that sort of thing. All right, we are going to move into our this or that tournament. I'm going to set the timer for 1 minute. I will ask you, Rusty, up to 10 questions, and they're all forced choice questions. And your goal is just to answer as many as you can in that 1 minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's begin. Windflowers or hyacinths?
Windflowers.
CJ or Flick?
CJ, definitely.
Thunderstorms or meteor showers?
Meteor shower.
Play alone or play with friends?
I would say play alone.
Okay. Dorado or arowana?
Arowana.
Yes or no, do you ever buy fake art from Red?
I do not.
Hardwood or cedar tree?
Hardwood.
Giant stag or giraffe stag?
So I have not caught the giraffe stag yet, so I have to go with giraffe stag.
Okay. Yes or no, is your secret beach still a secret?
It is not.
And who would you rather be friends with in real life, Leif or Red?
Red. I like his personality. Seems like a rascal.
Congratulations, Rusty. You finished in 1 minute all 10 questions. Let's talk about Red. What do you like about his personality?
Like he I don't know. He seems like, just like someone who I think if I knew him in real life, I think he'd be really interesting to me. I think I would want to know, like where has he sailed his boat to, like where does he get all the art from? Does he have like some sort of art connection somewhere? Is he motivated by profit, or is he just motivated by some sense of goodwill, since he gives me the cousin discount every time? So, I have lots of questions for Red, I think, probably.
I love that. You also were pretty insistent that you would never buy fake art from Red. So talk about that for a minute.
I don't really have a lot of room on, or I say I don't have a lot of room. I don't really have a need for the fake stuff. I'm going back to my completionist kind of personality. I'm really only concerned with the real stuff that I could deck out my museum with. So, maybe years from now, when I have my museum all done up, I may buy the fake stuff and maybe do one of the rooms in my house, or like a gallery out somewhere on my island.
You do not time travel, right?
I do not. I do not.
Okay. So how full is that art section of your museum? Like approximately how many pieces do you
Man,
think are in there?
I think I have maybe 8 of them now. So I think I have when you first walk in, I think I have like maybe three of the statues, and then I have maybe three of the paintings, and then the things that are in the little glass case, maybe two or three of those. So probably eight, I think.
Yeah. Out of everything in the museum, I think that section makes me the most depressed when I walk in. I maybe have like five pieces in there, and one of them is because I accidentally bought the wrong one. I was like clicking through screens and screens of dialogue, and I accidentally said yes, I wanted to buy something that I knew was fake. So it is now hanging over my sofa, a fake Mona Lisa.
Oh, FYI. Very nice.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The other one I wanted to ask about, let's get real nerdy about this. Dorado or Arowana? And you chose Arowana. I am curious.
I like the way that the Arowana shaped. It's a little bit longer, I think, right? It's that
yes.
one?
Yeah.
Yes. So that one, I don't know. It's just sort of creepy looking, you know? I think if I was to see one of those in real life, I would think it's kind of interesting looking. I like the way that it looks in the museum as well. So, you know, I like the eels and the snakes as well. The kind of longer looking ones. I don't know why. They're sort of creepy looking to me. So.
That's so interesting. You like them because they're creepy. There are certain things in the game that I find creepy to look at that I don't want to look at. But I think the Arowana is really pretty. I like the Dorado too, don't get me wrong. And I think I'd have a hard time choosing, but I like the Arowana's color. I do like its proportions, the length and the width. I don't know, the way that it kind of moves and the light shines off of it. There's something about that that I find really appealing too. So I get that. Cool. I cannot believe that you have not found the giraffe stag. Inform me of your emotional state because you have not seen the giraffe stag, Mr. Completionist.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, we were talking on, I think probably Thursday or Friday of this past week. And she was on the lookout for the giraffe stag and I think one more. And then I couldn't remember if I got it or not. And then I went and looked, yesterday morning and I did not. And I'm like, well, now I have to stay up. Cause I think it's one of the ones I think it's one of the all day ones, but, it's more kind of at night. So, I got to go find that one and who knows how long that could take.
I'm going 100% off memory when I say this, but I'm pretty sure when I have seen it, it's almost always early morning and it's almost always on a palm tree.
Yeah. It is a palm tree one. So
A specific area of the island where I see it and I almost never, I guess there's a west and a south and an east. I only ever see it on the east side of the island. And I don't know if that's on purpose, but I'm a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. player, and I will see it only in the early morning.
Yeah, I probably just need to make an effort and just get up at, you know, 4 o'clock one day and get out there and actually look at it, look for it. So
I'm going to send you some really good giraffe stag vibes after our recording today.
Please do. Please do.
All right, we're back with Rusty, and we're going to finish our interview today with a few prepared questions and answers. And of course, those begin with number one, what do you love most about ACNH, Rusty?
My favorite thing about the game is I just like the number of things that you can go do on this little tiny island, you know, this little seemingly small little area, but there's so much to go do. There's, you know, like there's the, you know, collecting paintings, there's fishing and there's visiting the mystery islands and having my friends over and all those things. It's it looks very small at first glance, but when you kind of peel the layers back to the game, there's just a lot to do. So it's a lot in a kind of a small package.
I think there's enough for everybody, really. What is one thing that you would change about the game?
You probably heard this before. I wish you could craft multiple fish baits at once. I feel like this takes forever. Probably a common complaint, but when you're getting ready for like the fishing tournament and you want to make 100, 150 of them, it just feels like it takes forever to go and do those. And they take up one slot in your inventory. So it feels like a design that probably could have been a little bit more efficient.
I've heard a rumor that in the fall update, they might change those kinds of things like that. The fact that you can only stack 30 pieces of wood as opposed to like 99 weeds that fit in a stack or whatever.
Yeah.
So be interesting to see if that comes true.
Yeah.
Do you have a tip or a trick or a hack for listeners in the game and gameplay?
The thing that I always tell people who are just starting off is to plant some fruit that is non-native. I would say plant as much as you can, and then start harvesting that for your money initially. So, if you can get those fruits out there, and you can just sell them to Nook, and then that's your money source, and you can start buying new things, and that'll help you out a lot when you're, especially when you're first starting off in the game.
Yeah, it is a very predictable way to earn income for sure. What is your favorite resource for ACNH news, updates, guides, and whatnot?
I frequent Reddit a good bit, and Reddit has, I don't know, at least seven or eight subreddits that I'll look at for there's like just like the regular general one, which it has a lot of memes and stuff like that. But you can also have ones where you can go trade turnips, you can do all kinds of other stuff, and kind of more in-depth discussion of the game. So,
Excellent. What question do you have for listeners of Tiny Island Diary?
My question would be, where do you think that the franchise should go next? We've been to the big city, New Leaf. I forgot where New Leaf was, and then the original game for the GameCube was just kind of set sort of, I guess, out in the country kind of thing. And now we've been to an island. So where do you think we should go next? Like, should we go like to, outer space? Should we go to the, maybe it's cold weather, it's maybe it's mountains, maybe it's something new that we don't really even know about. Maybe it's a big like metropolitan area with skyscrapers or something like that. So where do you think we should
Right.
go?
That is an awesome question. Listeners, where do you think this game should go next? If you have an answer for Rusty, you can send an answer along on Twitter. Use the handle at Tiny Island Diary or send an email to tinyislanddiary@gmail.com. Tiny Island Diary is on most major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Overcast, and Spotify. And there are more services being added I'm not even sure about. But if you enjoy the podcast, please tell your ACNH friends and ask them to listen. Please share, subscribe, and especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, rate and review because that's how other people will find us. And Rusty, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about life on your tiny island.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. This is very fun.
It was awesome. Dear listener, next week we will welcome another fantastic guest with a new point of view on Tiny Island Diary. Until then, bye.